Chazorshim Sechs Peil Perek Vol Mishnah Gimel until Perek Ches Mishnah Gimel. From the middle of the fifth Perek until the middle of the seventh Perek of Peah, the Mishnahs discuss the gift to the poor, which is known as Shikra, which is the forgotten produce, either the forgotten stalks which you forget to cut off the ground, or the forgotten bundles which you forget to bring in from the field. Now the sixth Perek really focuses on the exceptions to Shikra, where Shikra does not apply. And we're going to review Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Dalad together, because Mishnah Dalad was really explaining Mishnah Gimel. And there were three exceptions listed here. The first exception is the first and last bundle in the field. The first one can't become Shikra, because it's not considered to have been forgotten during the harvest, because the harvest hadn't yet started. And the last one can't become Shikra, because the mitzvah of Shikra is that you can't go back to get it. Well, if it's the last bundle in the field, then it's not considered going back anyway, because it's at the end of the field. And in Mishnah Dalad we saw that if two workers begin harvesting from the middle of the field, and then they walk in opposite directions, harvesting the produce. However, the position where they stood in the middle of the field, at the beginning of the harvest, they forgot that bundle. So for them, that bundle was considered the beginning of the field, because that was the point where they started from, and therefore it will not be Shikra. The second exception was if the forgotten bundle was situated at the end of a row, such that that bundle could be viewed as part of another row, which is going in a different direction. So let's say if you forgot the bundle when you were travelling and harvesting the bundles in a north to south direction, the bundle at the end of the row could be harvested with the end row going from a east to west direction. So since it can be viewed as part of another row, it will not become Shikra. And thirdly, if the farmer lifted up a certain bundle in his field in order to take it out of his field, but he didn't yet come to actually take it out of the field, he just lifted it up. If he ends up later on forgetting it, it won't be Shikra because since he intended when he lifted it up to take it out of the field, it's no longer considered a bundle of the field. And the Torah says that only the bundles of the field need to be given to the poor in a case of Shikra. Mishnah Hey, the next exception is to do with the number of bundles forgotten. And we also extended this not just to Shikra, but also to Leket and Peret. And according to Beis Hillel, if three bundles or stalks or grapes are either forgotten or dropped next to each other, then they won't become Shikra or Leket or Peret, depending on which of the produce it is. And the reason for this is because the Torah says you should leave them for the poor person and the convert, which implies you should leave them for a maximum of two people, which means that if three of them drop, then the owner can keep them, whereas Bishamah say that if three drop, then he has to give them. It's only if four of them drop or are forgotten, then he can keep them, because there's another pasuk which says that you should leave it for the convert, for the orphan, and for the widow, which mentions three people. However, according to Beis Hillel, the orphan and the widow are really like one person, they're just examples of poor people, and therefore in reality the maximum amount of things that you need to leave for the poor is two, but if three were to drop, then the owner could keep them. Mishnah Vav, the fifth exception was if he forgets a bundle which is the size of two sa'ah, because then it's no longer considered a bundle, or rather it's considered a big stack. Now, according to Rabbi Gamliel, even if two bundles together make up two sa'ah, in that situation they also won't be Shikra. The reason being that in general, the more bundles which are forgotten, the stronger the position of the owner. Like we saw in the previous Mishnah, that if he forgets lots of bundles, then he can keep them. So if one bundle which is two sa'ah he can keep, then all the more so two bundles which are two sa'ah together, he should be able to keep. But the Chachom say, no, what are you talking about? The whole reason why if it's two sa'ah it's not Shikra is because it's no longer considered a bundle, because it's too big. But if there are two bundles which only together make two sa'ah, then each one by themselves is small enough to be considered a bundle, and therefore they should be Shikra according to the Chachomim. Mishnah Zion, so what happens when it comes to a stalk, which is attached to the ground, which he forgets to harvest? So over here, even if it didn't grow to two sa'ah, but it would have grown to two sa'ah, it's just that its growth was stunted by something like strong winds or another external factor. Since it was still attached to the ground, and therefore has potential to grow more, we view it as if it has grown to two sa'ah, as long as in general it would grow to two sa'ah, and therefore it would not be Shikra. Mishnah Test. Now, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, who holds that if two bundles together make up two sa'ah, then they're not considered Shikra, he would still agree that if one sa'ah was a forgotten bundle and another sa'ah was a forgotten standing grain that you forgot to cut off the ground, then in that case they don't combine and therefore they would be Shikra, because it's different types of Shikra. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, even in this case they would combine, because at the end of the day they are both Shikra. However, Rabbi Yossi agrees that if in between these two types of Shikra, there's something like Leket or something which is entitled to the poor, which is between these two, then they wouldn't combine, even according to Rabbi Gamliel. And we also saw in this Mishnah that onions and garlic, even though sometimes they do have the same status, when it comes to Shikra they don't, and therefore if there's a sa'ah of onions and a sa'ah of garlic, they don't combine and therefore they would be Shikra. Those are all the laws with regards to the size of the bundles. And now let's go back to Mishnah Ches, where there was another exception, the sixth exception, where if a forgotten bundle or a forgotten stalk is so close to the part of the field which hasn't yet been harvested, that if you bend over this stalk or the bundle, it would touch the unharvested part, then we view it as part of the unharvested part of the field, and therefore it would not be Shikra. Now, in Mishnah Yud, we came across the seventh exception to Shikra, where Shikra would not apply, and that is, if the produce was harvested for the sake of feeding it to animals, that means we're never going to end up bundling it up. So you never reach that stage where it's completed the Gemara Malacha, and therefore it can't become Shikra. As well as that, if you harvest the produce just in order to use it to tie up other bundles, so it also doesn't reach the stage of Gemara Malacha, it's not processed properly like it would had it been used for its own sake, and therefore it cannot become Shikra. Now, exception number 9 is actually subject to a machlekes, and according to Yehuda, produce whose edible part grows in the ground, for example, onions, that also can't become shikra because the Torah says shikra applies to something which is planted basode in the field, which implies that it's got to be visible and in the open, just like the field is visible. So if it's planted inside the ground, then it's not visible and therefore it's exempt from shikra. However, according to the Chachamim, basode literally means in the field and even inside the field, inside the ground. So it would include things like onions and therefore they would be chayv in shikra. Mishnah Yudalev, if somebody harvests the field, or he brings in the bundles at night, or if a blind person does that, when they do that, they're intending to harvest the entire field. And in fact, they'll probably be more careful than most people in order to get every bundle. So therefore, if they do overlook or forget a bundle, it does become shikra because it was totally by mistake. However, if when he does that, he only intends to collect the big ones now, and he knows that he's going to come back at a later date to collect the smaller ones, then shikra doesn't apply to the entire field, certainly not to the small ones, because he's not harvesting those now. But even the big ones it doesn't apply to, because since he knows he's going to finish off the harvest later on, he knows that he's going to come back and check for any ones which he missed out, and he'll make those part of the later harvest, and therefore shikra would not apply. We don't even view the harvest as finished. And lastly, if somebody harvests his field, and he says that he's doing it on condition that whatever he forgets, he'll go back and take back for himself. So there he's making a condition which directly contradicts the mitzvah of shikra. And there's a rule that kol amasna masha kosu b'Torah t'noi botel. Anybody who makes a condition which goes against the Torah totally, the condition is invalid, and therefore over here shikra would apply, and his condition does not help him. The first half of Mishnah Zayin discusses shikra as well, and specifically shikra for trees. And the Mishnah told us that if a tree is very famous, either because of its very good quality or its bad quality, or because of its position in the field, either way, if it's a memorable tree, then even if he overlooks it during the harvest, since he's bound to remember it later on, even without seeing it, so shikra would not apply. However, if he began harvesting that tree, and then forgot about the rest of the tree, so then the rest of the tree would be shikra, because there he's not necessarily going to remember the tree because it's famous, because he might actually think that he finished harvesting the tree. However, we explained that if there's still 2 sa'ah of fruit on that tree, which he hasn't harvested, so then that's considered a very significant amount, and like we've seen before, 2 sa'ah means that it will not become shikra. Now, when it comes to a regular tree which isn't particularly memorable, so just like with everything else, if he forgets to harvest 2 of the trees, then the fruit of those trees will be shikra, but if he forgets 3 trees, then those fruit will not become shikra. Now, Rabbi Yossi says that during the period which followed the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, where many of the olive trees throughout Eretz Yisrael were destroyed, that meant that any olive tree was considered very significant and memorable. So according to Rabbi Yossi, during that time, no olive tree could become shikra, even if just one of them was forgotten, because by definition, an olive tree would be very memorable during that period. Mishnah Beis, if there are 3 rows of olive trees, and in between each row, there are patches, either empty patches, or perhaps planted with grain, and he forgets a tree in the middle row of trees, and this does not include the trees in that row which are at either end. But if he forgets one of the middle trees in the middle row, then it will not be shikra because there's an external factor causing him to forget it, because it's hidden by so many other things, so therefore you could explain that that's why he forgot it, not simply because he overlooked it, and therefore it would not be shikra. Now, at what point do the fruit of a tree become shikra? So according to the Chachamim, it's only once the fruit which were at the bottom of the tree have been collected by the workers, only after that point is the harvest considered to have been finished, and therefore if there were fruit left on the trees, they would become shikra, because the workers, when they collect the fruit from the bottom of the tree, they would look upwards to check for any forgotten fruit. So they only completed the harvest at that point. Now, according to Meir, it's an even later point. The harvest is only completed after the worker has gone round checking with a stick for any fruit which are hidden in the trees. And if even after that he still leaves some in the trees, only then would they become shikra, because only then is the harvest completed, according to Rabbi Meir. Now, for the most part of the remainder of Perek Zayin, we discussed the 2 gifts for the poor, which only apply to a grapevine. And the first of those was peret, which is basically equivalent to leket, but when it comes to grapes. So grapes which fall down during the harvest, and as a direct result of the harvest itself, so not because of an external factor, such as him getting tangled in the vine. So if the grapes fall, then they would become peret, and they would go to the poor people. Now, if somebody places a basket at the bottom of a vine so that he can collect the grapes which fall down, that's stealing, because as soon as the grapes become detached from the vine, they already belong to the poor people, even if they don't touch the ground. Now, the second gift for a grapevine is oileles, which are undeveloped grapes, or underdeveloped grapes. And the definition of an oileles is something which neither has a kosef, which literally means shoulder, and it means that the grapes on the branches, the secondary branches which come off the main branch of the cluster of grapes, they don't rest on each other, so there aren't so many of them there. So that means it's underdeveloped. And secondly, in order to be an oileles, it also needs to lack the grapes which grow individually towards the end of that central branch of the cluster. So if it lacks both of those things, then it would be an oileles and go to the poor people. Now, if it's a doubt as to whether it has one of these, then it would also go to the poor people, as we have seen before in the Masechta, that in a case of a doubt, we actually give it to the poor people, even though usually in a case of doubt, we would say that the receiver has to prove that he is entitled to that thing. Now, if an underdeveloped cluster of grapes is growing out of the same spot on the main branch of the cluster as one of the normal secondary branches, which is not an oileles, so you've got a secondary branch which is an oileles and a secondary branch which is not an oileles, and they're growing from the same spot. So if the oileles secondary branch comes off with the non-oileles secondary branch, then we just view it as part of, as an extension of that secondary branch, which is not an oileles, and therefore it would go to the owner. But if it remains on the main branch when you cut off the other secondary branch, then we would view this as a secondary branch itself, which is underdeveloped, and therefore it would be an oileles and go to the poor people. Now, contrary to Yehuda, if the entire main branch of the cluster is full of just grapes by themselves, not really any secondary clusters, but it is full, so contrary to Yehuda, it's not an oileles because the grapes are so close to each other, so you can't consider that underdeveloped. However, contrary to the Chachamim, it is an oileles because there are no secondary clusters, so it doesn't have the normal structure of a developed grape, and therefore it would go to the poor. Mishnah Hey, if someone does Meidel, he does the process in the field where he removes part of the grapes or part of the vines in order to allow enough space and nutrients for the remaining grapes to grow properly. So if he does that, he's also allowed to remove the oileles, just like he can remove his own produce. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who views the poor people as a sort of partner of the owner of the field. And just like in general, one would be able to do Meidel to his partner's part of the field, even without telling him or asking his permission, so too the owner could do it here, even though he does not have the permission of the poor people. However, contrary to Meir, the poor person is not like a partner, the poor person is like a buyer of a field. And just like if I sell someone a field, I can't then start cutting his grapes, even if it's for his own good, so too over here, the owner would not be able to cut any of the oileles grapes. Now, Mishnah Vov went a little bit sidetracked, and we talked about Kerem Ravoi, or Netar Ravoi, which is the fourth year produce of a tree which has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Now, according to Beis Hillel, Netar Ravoi has the same status as Maaser Sheni, because they learn out of a Gezeirah Shavah, which is when a common word is found in two different places, and therefore you can apply a law from one to the other. And so, according to Beis Hillel, Netar Ravoi has the same halachas and the same status exactly as Maaser Sheni. And therefore, you would need to add on a fifth of the value if you redeem it. You would also need to do biur, which is when you destroy any of the Netar Ravoi, which hasn't been eaten by Erev Pesach of the fourth or seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. And thirdly, just like Maaser Sheni, it would be exempt from all the Matnos Aniyim, because just like Maaser Sheni, it's considered Momon Gavoya, the property of the High One, meaning it's not personal property, and therefore it would be exempt from Matnos Aniyim. However, Beis Shammai say the opposite, because according to Beis Shammai, Netar Ravoi does not have the same status as Maaser Sheni. The only real similarity is that they both have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and you can redeem them. But the other things we mentioned, which are not explicitly mentioned in the Torah with regards to Netar Ravoi, would not apply to Netar Ravoi. Now, Mishnah Zion went back to the discussion of oileles, and according to Eliezer, if a vineyard only contains oileles clusters of grapes, so in that case, the farmer can actually keep all of them. Because the Torah says when you harvest, then you can't harvest the oileles, which implies that you're only obligated to give oileles to the aniyim when there's a harvest for yourself as well. However, according to Akiva, you'd have to give all of the clusters to the poor people, because there's another pasuk which says, just plain and simple, you can't harvest the oileles in your vineyard. Now, if so, according to Akiva, what would he do with the pasuk which says that oileles only apply when you harvest? So Akiva would say, it doesn't mean when you harvest, that's not the focus. The focus is the timing, and it teaches that the poor people can't take the oileles before the harvest. So it's saying only when you end up harvesting, in a normal case, then the poor people can take the oileles. Mishnah Ches, if somebody makes his field hektash before the oileles become developed enough to be recognizable, so before you know which clusters are going to be oileles, so then it's valid because they haven't become oileles yet, because they only become oileles once they're recognizable. And because of that, that means the whole field is Hekdesh, and Hekdesh is exempt from the Matnos Aniyim, so the poor people will not be able to take the Olalos from that field. Now, if he only makes their field Hekdesh after the Olalos are recognizable, so the Olalos are already entitled to the poor people, even if they can't yet collect it, since they're recognizable, they are somewhat considered belonging to the poor people already. And therefore, certainly, it would not become Hekdesh, because they don't belong to the person who made them Hekdesh. And therefore, the poor people would be able to collect the Olalos. But Rabbi Yossi adds, or he argues, but he says, that although the poor people can take the Olalos still grew and gained nourishment from the Hekdesh land. And therefore, whatever grew of the Olalos since the ground was made Hekdesh, the poor people need to give to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Perek ended off by telling us that if a grapevine is wrapped around posts and wooden frames, such that it makes a roof as well, and therefore the way that the farmer would harvest those vines is that after picking the grapes, he would lift up the branches to check for any hidden grapes. So that means that even if he doesn't pick up all the grapes to begin with, he's going to lift up the branch afterwards. And therefore the forgotten grapes would only become shikha once he's distanced himself from those vines to an extent that he can't reach out and lift up the branches. And when it comes to vines which are planted on the ground like normal, or even if they're planted literally on the ground where people would trample them, over here you wouldn't lift out the branches after harvesting it, and therefore as soon as you've passed it, grapes which you left on the vine would become shikha straight away. Perek Ches. Much of the 8th Perek discussed laws which apply to all of the different Matnos Aniyim. And the first few Mishnayos discuss the fact that once most of a particular gift for the poor has been collected from the fields, the poor people were miyayish, they had yiyush, which means that they pretty much gave up hope of getting those gifts for themselves, and therefore they relinquished their ownership to it, and the remaining gifts in the field become hefka. They become ownerless, and now anybody, even wealthy people, can collect those gifts themselves. Now, when exactly does this occur? So for Leket, Shikra, and Peah, it's once the Namushos have been through the field. Now, what are Namushos? So either Namushos are the old people, who look downwards so they would check for everything. So once they've been through the field, the poor people can't really be bothered and assume that everything's been collected. Or Namushos are the second group of poor people to go through the field. And once that has occurred, again, the poor people assume that no more is to be found there. So they have Yish, so they make it ownerless so that anyone can now come and take them. Now, we said later on in the Mishnah that when it comes to olive trees, they are harvested during the colder season, and therefore there wouldn't be a second group of poor people. Alternatively, there wouldn't be old people harvesting through that field, so the Namushos can't be the time. So therefore, there's another time, and that is once the second rain falls, around that time the poor people stop going through the field, and therefore anyone can take it. However, Rabbi Yehuda says there are some people who don't even begin harvesting their olive trees until after the second rain has fallen. So really, it's once there are less than 4 meals worth, 4 isar, of produce left in the field, so that's the point that anyone can come and collect them. Alright, now for Peret and Olalos, the two gifts from a grapevine, as soon as just one group of poor people have been through the field, already then anyone can come. The reason being that because grapes were very popular, it was understood that if you wanted the grapes from a field, and you were a poor person, then you would go as part of the first group. You would want to go there straight away. And therefore, if you were not part of the first group, then it's assumed that you're not going to go and get the grapes, and therefore other non-poor people can now come and collect the remaining grapes. Mishnah Beis. So in general, we don't believe Ami Ha'oretz, who are people who don't know the halachas, they don't know the laws of the Maaseros, and separating the tithes. Generally, we don't believe them if they say that something is tithed. However, if somebody buys something from a poor person, even if that poor person is an Am Ha'aretz, and therefore is not reliable with regards to the tithes, it could be that the produce which he's selling you is totally exempt and never had an obligation of the tithes. Because if the poor person received it as Matnos Aniyim, then it's totally exempt from the tithes. So the rule is that if you're buying from him something which is commonly given as Matnos Aniyim, and as well as that you're buying it from him very soon after the harvest, so it's very likely that this came from Matnos Aniyim, and therefore the buyer would not need to separate the Maaseros from that produce which he's buying from him. Now when it comes to Maaser Oni, which is the 10th of a farmer's produce, which he separates in the 3rd and the 6th year of the Shemitah cycle, so in that scenario he's believed all year round, not just close to the time of the harvest, because since it's a whole 10th of the farmer's produce, that's a huge amount, and therefore it would last a very long time, so even a far time away from the harvest, it's still likely that the produce which the poor person has, if he claims it's from Maaser Oni, it's likely that that is true, and therefore the buyer would not need to separate the Trumas and Maaseros himself. As well as that, if you buy Maaser Rishon, which is the gift which goes to the Levi, you can believe the Levi if he tells you that he separated the Trumas Maaser from that Maaser. The Trumas Maaser is the 10th, which the Levi separates to give to the Kohen, and he's believed if he claims that he separated that, because the punishment for eating produce from which the Trumas Maaseh has not been taken is very severe. It's death by the hands of Hashem. And therefore the Levi is not suspected of lying in that regard, so he is believed. And finally, in Mishnah Gimel, we saw that if the poor person sells somebody oil, so he's believed if he claims it's Maaser Oni, because the farmer would often give Maaser Oni as oil. However, if he claims it's from Shikra, then he's not believed, because there usually aren't that many olives which are forgotten in the tree, and it's unlikely that he would have got enough olives from there to make it worth squeezing them into oil. So if the poor person claims that what he is selling you is Shikra, then he's not believed, and therefore if you buy that oil, you would need to tithe it yourself.